back on how you made it out, all the things that were binding you.
I should have never doubted you. Oh, glory to God, I was on mute. Lord have mercy. I thought I was on the thing and I was on mute. But Jesus is Lord. Thank you for saying that, Pastor Felicia, because I would have been doing the whole broadcast on mute. You know, I did that before. But I just was saying how powerful God is and how I know he's powerful because he wakes me up every day. He wakes all of us up every day. We don't wake up on our own accord. He wakes us up, glory to God, hallelujah. And for him to wake us all up, for all of us to wake up, we know we're serving a powerful, mighty God, hallelujah. But before we go any further, let's just go before the throne, to the throne of God, hallelujah, and invite the Holy Spirit in, hallelujah, glory to God. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to say thank you and bless your name. Father, I ask you to forgive me for my sins and shortcomings, oh God, of this day. Forgive us all, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, anything we said or done that was not pleasing to you, we ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Father God, we bless your name today for you're worthy to be praised, oh God, hallelujah. We bless you, oh God, and we praise you, Father, for you're worthy of all praise. We thank you, Lord God, because you are powerful, Lord. There is no other God besides you, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. We know people have fake gods, Lord God, but they can't do nothing for them. When they cry out to their fake gods can't do nothing for them. But, Father, I just say thank you on tonight, glory to God. We invite your Holy Spirit to come in tonight in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come into this broadcast. Take over. Have your way in the name of Jesus. We pray for any lost souls tonight that they might come to Jesus, hallelujah, that they will come to Jesus, hallelujah, not because of me, but because of the word, hallelujah, because of the power of the word of God, hallelujah. And, Father, we just thank you on tonight because we know, hallelujah, that we cannot hold hands with Satan and walk with God at the same time. It's impossible. But, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would enlighten us with the word of God, that we may be able to teach this thing, Lord God, according to your will, that people will get an understanding and souls will be saved, delivered, set free. Father God, and we thank you for it right now in the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to play this song real quick. I just want to play this song real quick. It's called Running Back to You by Commission.
How can you forgive me when I've often gone? How can you think of me when I do things my way, turning my back from you, the one who loved me first, having my own desires, renewing worldly thirst? You told me you loved me, I should make up my mind. You tell me, come back now, but I keep wasting time, feeling so very weak. You say I can be strong. I feel I've gone too far. You tell me to come home. And I know this is
Amen. That's what we need to do. We need to run back to Jesus. We just need to run back to him. If we find ourselves overtaken in a fault or overtaken in a sin, we need to run back to Jesus because he's there waiting for us. He's waiting for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So run back to Jesus. Hallelujah. And I just want to say, you know, in agreement with Pastor Felicia said this morning, she said, you know, the little foxes, not the foxes, the wolves. She said, we got to kill those wolves. We got to get those wolves out the way. Glory to God. Whatever your wolf is, kill that thing. Whatever that wolf is, kill it. Hallelujah. So it won't hinder you anymore in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But guess what? Jesus is Lord. That's all I know. He is Lord. Amen. And guess what? He's going to be Lord whether we like it or not. Whether we obey him or not, Jesus is going to be Lord. We don't have to accept it. We don't have to like it. We don't have to obey him. We don't have to do none of that, right? He's going to still be Lord. There's many people walking around saying hurtful things, saying stupid things. God ain't real, Jesus is a fairy tale, all this other stuff. Just the foolishness people come up with. But guess what? I'd rather believe that he's real and he not be real than to believe that he's not real and he is real. How about that? You find out that he's real for real, and all the time you've been messing around, it's going to be a problem when judgment day comes. You'll be like, I should have done it. Forget it. It's too late. When he come and crack this guy, it's going to be too what? Late. He's giving you a chance right now. Right now. Today is August the 22nd, 2012. Already it's August the 22nd. Okay? We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but he's coming back quicker than we think. How I know?
Yes.
Look at the signs of the times. Look at how fast the days are going by. Look at how fast the years are going by. I mean, in a moment, it's just going by so fast. Like, it seems like Christmas comes twice a year because the days are going by so fast. But we have to be careful, and we have to make sure that we're on track with God. We have to make sure that what we're doing and how we're living is pleasing to Almighty God. Good evening, Forest 259. God bless you. I type and talk, but Pastor Felicia is here on the line with me and in the chat room, and I thank God for her so much. But tonight we're going to be talking about holding hands, well, serving God and holding hands with Satan. It's impossible. It's impossible to hold hands with God. Okay, hold hands with Satan and walk with God. You can't do it. You can't hold hands with Satan and walk with God. It's impossible. I don't care how many lies you tell. I don't care how many times how many ways we try to clean it up. We cannot walk with God and hold hands with Satan. You can't do it. I don't care how you try to calculate it in your mind. The best mathematician or the best reasoner, they cannot come up with a way that you can hold hands, that you can walk with God and hold hands with Satan at the same time. It's an impossibility. Okay?
Right.
Forest 259 said it is impossible. It is impossible. You cannot. Okay, I don't care who told you that you can. You can't serve God. We cannot serve God and hold hands with Satan. Pastor Felicia, can you say it with me? We can't serve God and hold hands with Satan. We can't
God
do it.
It's impossible. Amen.
It's impossible. It's impossible. There's a lie going around. Okay, it's heresy. Call it what it is. Call it what it is. It's heresy so that we can pray and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. This heresy going around, this false doctrine, this false teaching going around saying that in the end everybody's going to heaven anyway. It's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Why would the Bible say that there's a lake of fire? Why would the Bible say there's a lake that burns with fire and brimstone if everybody's going to heaven? The Bible said it was originally made for the devil and his angels, but guess what? People are following Satan every single day. There's people out there worshiping Satan. I mean, really, literally worshiping Satan. Okay? Then you have people out there that are living for Satan and trying to be in the church and out the church at the same time. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. It's an impossibility. Either you're in or you're out. not halfway in, not halfway out. I mean, we got to tell the truth. People walking around talking about you could just do anything you want to do. God understands. He sure does understand. He understands that if you're sinning, you want to continue to sin. Those of us who know the word of God, who have been enlightened by the word of God, we know sin, and we know what it is. We know that
Amen.
When we accept Jesus Christ, we have been raised from death to life, and the old man is not supposed to have control of us anymore. But it's so many
That's
people
right.
still doing what they want to do because they're pleasing the flesh. The Bible says those that are in the flesh cannot please God. So how is it that we can be in the flesh and be okay with God? How is that? That goes back to our topic. How can we serve God and be in the flesh? I mean,
all
really,
right,
we can't do it. I can't serve God and still operate out my flesh. My flesh wants to do what my flesh wants to do. My flesh is an enemy against God. My flesh is the sinful nature. My flesh just, okay, I just want to do what I want to do. It don't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what his word says. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. All I want to do is do what I want to do. I hear the Holy Ghost talking to me. I call him something. Something say it. I know something said don't do that, and something said don't go there, and something said don't do this, and something said don't do that. I know something said, but I didn't want to hear what something said. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. So go on and do what you want to do, because guess what? God's not going to force us to obey his will. God's not going to force us to obey his word. If you want to keep dancing with the devil, go right here. And then when the end comes and you wind up in the lake of fire, you can't blame nobody but God.
Right.
You can't blame nobody but God. I wrote a poem one time telling about somebody woke up in hell. Woke up in hell and then wanted to try to blame God. Why, God, why'd you let me come here? God said, I didn't let you come here. You chose to go there because you didn't obey me.
That's
you
right.
made the choice. Don't try to blame God. Uh-uh. Okay, we have area code 409 on the line.
Very good.
Let me see if I... Area code 409?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Who's this?
LaTanya.
Hi, LaTanya.
Hello.
Hi.
Did you have a question or a comment?
No, I just saw one of my Facebook friends post it, and Miss Felicia, so I'm just tuning in. This is my first time.
Oh, well, thank you for tuning in.
You're welcome.
And Pastor Felicia is on the line.
Yeah, she's not that quiet. She's not quiet either.
God bless. Y'all trying to be shy, huh? I like what 4259 says in the chat room, and I'm going to see if I can go back a little bit because I wasn't in the chat room, but I'm going to see. They said you can't serve two masters and can't work in two camps. I know that's right. Hell is just a holding place, but hell will be thrown in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. The second death is the worst death. Flesh does hell-bound things. Amen. The word is what will catch us in the end. It sure will. The word going to catch us right now.
Right.
The word going to catch us right now because guess what? We're going to either be holy or we're not going to be holy. Okay? I'm reading a book by Jeff Bridges. It's called The Pursuit of Holiness. And I tell you what, something about this book is really good because he talks about seeking holiness, but you don't really know holiness until you know God. Then, do you know
That's
God's
true.
Attributes and know his character? People will tell us to love God, but how can we love a God that we don't know? We got to get to know him. We got to learn his characteristics. We got to know what he likes and what he doesn't like. And then that's how we learn how to be holy. Okay, I know for a fact that if God was walking on this earth right now, God would never be walking around cursing. God would never be walking around here fornicating. When Jesus was here on this earth, Jesus didn't fornicate. He was 33 years old when he died. He had, up until the time that he was old enough to know anything about fornication, he could have fornicated anytime he wanted to. He lived around people that fornicated. He was on this earth after all. He wasn't in heaven. He was down here on earth. But he didn't fornicate. Jesus didn't lie. Jesus didn't steal. Jesus didn't disobey his parents. He wasn't rebellious. He didn't do none of that stuff. that our flesh is anxious. Why? Because every time you turn around, he was in the temple. Studying the word of God, learning the word of God. And then it got to a point where he began to teach the word of God. That's how come he ain't had time for all this other foolishness. People say, well, he was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh, but guess what? He still was in the temple studying, okay, because he still was here in the flesh. So he was found in the temple studying, giving attention to the word of God, feeding his spirit with the word of God. Yeah. You see, when he went into the wilderness, okay, he went into the wilderness after he got baptized and the Holy Ghost lit upon him. Remember the dove came down and the Spirit of God said, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Okay, then he went into the wilderness. He was driven into the wilderness. But when he went in the wilderness and the enemy came against him, Satan came to him to tempt him those three times, what did he speak? The word. He spoke the word. But Jesus, see, people think, okay, well, yeah, he was just Jesus and he spoke the word. But guess what? Jesus studied the word. Go back in the Gospels and read how it says he was in the temple. And when he was in the temple, he was studying the word of God. And he was getting the word of God. And then he started teaching the word of God. And they was looking at it like, wow, he's really smart. He's got a lot of wisdom. And it's the same thing with us. We got to get this word of God and eat this word of God, devour this word of God. And we got to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to crucify this flesh. See, because you can still read the word of God and still do what you want to do anyway. We can read the word of God and still sin. I mean, willful sin. We can read the word of God and still go out there and do anything we want to do. We could just say, okay, well, I fulfilled my daily quota of reading the word of God, but I'm still going to go out here and do what I want to do. A lot of people do that. A lot of people go into the four walls, go into the church building. Okay, they go into the building and go up and, you know, throw up their hands and offering strange fire unto God and thinking God is accepting that when you've been holding hands with the devil all this time and then you come in church and then you offering up strange fire. And folk think because they're crying and, oh, you know, God, I'm sorry. You can say sorry all day long, but if you don't repent, it don't mean nothing.
Amen.
You can say, I mean, seriously, we can say sorry all day long, but if we don't repent, what does it mean when you turn right around and go back and do the same thing? You go right back out there and do the same thing over and over. What is the point of saying you sorry? Are you really sorry if you go right back out and do the same thing? If I committed adultery on my husband and I came home and I said, baby, I'm sorry, I just couldn't help it, and then tomorrow I go back out and do the same thing, and say, oh, baby, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. And then I go back out on Saturday or Friday and do the same thing. And come back, oh, baby, I'm sorry. First of all, after the first time, he's not going to listen to me saying I'm sorry, and I went back out there and did it again. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I came in the house and said, oh, baby, I committed adultery, I'm sorry, will you forgive me, and then don't do it again, that's repentance. Okay, it's changing your mind about it, not just not doing it again. See, because you cannot do it again but still have thoughts about it. Can we get clear with that?
Amen.
You cannot go out there and commit the actual act of adultery, but you can still have adulterous thoughts. Just because you're not out there doing the actual thing, you could be in the house, you know, looking at magazines. You can even be on the phone calling your boo. Okay? Having phone sex or whatever the case is. But change your mind about it. Telling God, I'm sorry, God, look, I know I sinned. I'm sorry. I need you to forgive me, and I will not do this thing again. Cleanse my mind, God. Help me because my flesh is weak. But, God, I need your help. I need your Holy Spirit to help me because I don't want to commit adultery again, God. I know it hurts you, and I know it hurts my husband, and I'm also sinning against my own body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But, God, I need you to help me. I need your Holy Spirit right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Don't you know he'll help you? Don't you know, you ain't even got to get that deep. You ain't even got to be all loud like that. And all you got to say, just repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I won't do that again. See, but we act like we don't really know how God feels about sin. God hates sin. He really hates sin. Go look in the Old Testament and see the things that the people did in the Old Testament and see how God reacted to sin. See, we got this thing with grace. You know, everybody's talking about God's grace and God's grace and his mercy. So because of God's grace and his mercy, we treat God like we can do anything we want to do when he's supposed to be okay with it. All because of grace and mercy, we just do anything we want. And God, you know you're going to be okay with it. That's okay. And that's how we act. Our attitude towards God is filthy and stinky because no ground has opened up and people hasn't fallen through the ground yet. Understand what I'm saying? People not in the pulpit dropping dead. You in there banging everybody in the church, pastor, apostle, bishop, evangelist.
All right.
And you standing up there preaching and the ground ain't open up and you ain't dropped dead yet, so you think it's okay. But guess what? God is watching everything. His eyes are over the wicked and the good. He's beholding all of that.
Hallelujah. Yes.
So we think we done got away with it, but it's good and it's okay. Because guess what? In the end, every knee's going to bow. The record is already written in heaven. If our names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, guess what? We're not going in those pearly gates. And he giving us a chance to get it together. Every day we wake up is a chance to get it together. I might have messed up yesterday, but God, I thank you for a chance today because I can get it together. Now, God, help me. Cleanse my mind. Purify my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked thing in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me, Lord, in the way everlasting. God, cleanse me. Guess what? God honors. He honors when we're honest. He honors that when we're honest.
Oh, yeah.
He honors. God, I wanted to fornicate. I just had this desire to fornicate. And I just wanted to. I just needed to get that off of me. But God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Now, I'm going to read scriptures about fornication. I'm going to meditate on those scriptures about fornication so I don't do it again.
Hallelujah.
See, the same. People talk about homosexuality. I believe homosexuality is a spirit from hell. I believe it's a spirit. I don't believe people were born that way. I believe it's a spirit that has just come through. And look at the people that are homosexual and see the way they act. They act the same way. It's a spirit. It ain't no malfunction in your genes. It's a spirit. And then you got the spirit of fornication and adultery and lying. These are spirits. But you can talk to God and say, God, I got feelings for the same sex. God, I've had a same-sex relationship. God, but I know this is not pleasing to you. God, I need you to forgive me, and I need you to help me. God, I need your Holy Spirit to help me because I don't want to do this thing anymore because it's not pleasing to you. God, I'm not going to keep using the excuse that I was born this way. God, I'm asking you to cleanse me right now in the name of Jesus. But see, we don't want to do that. We want to find a church that's going to accept what we do. We're going to find a big church so we can hide in there so nobody won't call us to the carpet, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to go to an intimate church or somewhere, you know, a setting like that where somebody can say, you know what, you're according to the word of God, I have to tell you that you're not living right. But I have to tell you this is according to the word of God. Homosexuality is not of God, okay, as a believer. I'm telling you this in love. I want you to go home. I want you to read the word of God. I want you to meditate on the word of God. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to deliver you from this spirit of homosexuality. And I'm going to pray with you so that you can get delivered in the name of Jesus. This what I mean, come on now. No, but instead what we do, we go into church and we let everybody come into church and do what they want to do. Lead the choir.
Jesus.
Play the organ, you know, preach the gospel, do all of this stuff. So now you let that in. Now all these other sinners is coming into the body. All this other sin is coming into the building. Because why? You open up the door and let that sin come in. And the Bible says a little leaven leavens a whole lump. So how many folks got buildings erected, but they got all this sin going on in the church? People in the church, in the building, dancing. Speaking in tongues, falling out on the floor. They can shout for hours and hours and hours and go right back outside and do the same thing. What is that about? Where's God at in that? Where's God in that? Because I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. My husband's teaching a lesson about, he said, salvation. What is it called, salvation? It's the heart that counts?
Yep.
Our heart is desperately wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Who can know it? That's why we need the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is going to tell you to let that thing go. But see, if we don't get in tune with the Holy Ghost, if we don't get a relationship with God, if we don't know his voice and stop reducing him to something said, something told me not to do that, something told me not to go there. If we get a relationship with God, we can live holy. If we get a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we can live holy. But we got to pursue that relationship. We got to pursue that thing like our life depends on it. You know why? Because our life does depend on it. It's just that simple. We don't got to get deep. It's just that simple. Our lives depend on it. There's a real hell. Like 4259 says, hell is just a holding place. Because after hell, you know, if you wind up in hell, your final destination is what?
Fire.
The lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That's the final destination. I didn't write it. I didn't write that. Let's turn to that, y'all, because people don't believe stuff that I say sometimes.
Lake of fire.
My.
Let's find it, y'all.
Lake of fire.
Lake of fire. Lake of fire. That's in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
We need to read it because folks don't believe water is wet. You can tell some people don't get over there in that swimming pool because that water is wet. And if you can't swim, you're going to drown. Some people won't believe you and go get in it anyway. Oh. And then drown and then wonder why they woke up dead. Why you wake up dead?
Mm-hmm.
Because you were disobedient. Woke up dead. I told you not to get in there if you can't swim and you drown.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't my fault you drowned. I warned you. It ain't my fault people go to hell when they being warned. And the Bible is sitting right here in your face, free for you to choose to read or not.
Mm-hmm.
Why you going to blame the pastor because you went to hell? How you going to blame God because you went to hell? When he left the Bible, he left the Bible for us. Revelation chapter 20. I'm just going to open up Revelation 20. Verse 14 says, then death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. Y'all heard that? Death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. They were thrown into the lake of fire.
Amen.
I just don't know why people don't believe the Bible. Y'all believe if y'all play the lottery that you're going to win. Some people have been playing the lottery for years. They ain't won nothing. Ain't never going to win nothing. But they believe they're going to win up millions and millions and millions. Okay? That's why they play. Why don't we believe that there's a hell in the lake of fire? Because we ain't never seen nobody go to the lake of fire yet. That's why. People have seen other people win the lottery, but they've never seen a lake of fire yet. Okay? They've never seen hell yet. But guess what? I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to believe it, but guess what? It's true anyway. It's true anyway. You don't have to live holy, but God requires it. But you don't have to. Keep doing what you want to do. If that's what you want to do. God's not going to beg you to live right. God's not going to beg you to walk with him. God's not going to beg you to stop playing with the devil. He's going to send his word, and it's up to us to listen to it. It's up to us. Look, let me tell you something. I ain't write the Bible. And for a long time in my life, I didn't believe the Bible. Okay? But I believe the Bible now. I believe the Bible is the word of God. I believe the Bible is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I believe the word of God will change my very life if I let it. But see, some of us are scared of the change. Some of us are scared of who we might become. You know, I don't want to get too holy now because I might lose my friends. You know, I don't want to go in too far. I just want to go in just a little bit so I can feel like I'm okay with God. I just want to go in a little bit. Come on now. Pastor Felicia.
Yes, ma'am.
Whew. You got anything to say about that?
Amen. We might as well get right while we yet got time, because after Jesus comes back, it's too late. We don't want to be left behind if we are here when he comes back. Amen. You don't want to be left behind, because when you're left behind, you're left on your own. Amen. There will be no Holy Spirit to help guide you. Amen. You have to, sacrifice per se on your own. You have to get it for yourself. Amen. While Jesus has already while Jesus has made the way. Amen. We might as well. Go ahead.
Let me tell you something. The Bible, you could get a Bible anywhere nowadays. You could read the Bible online. There's going to come a day and time after Jesus come back and get the church, okay? If anybody's left back here after the rapture, you're not going to be able to read the Bible. You're going to have to get a mark on your head that's 666. You're going to have to get this mark. You're not even going to be able to buy food if you don't have this mark, okay? But you're going to have to be an undercover Christian. You're going to have to be an undercover believer. Now you ain't got to be undercover. You could be a Christian now and be bold about it. We don't got to be undercover now. We can serve God, and we can be free about serving God, even though the United States is trying to change the rules around and say we can't worship God here and we can't praise God here and we can't put up anything about Jesus here and we can't put up anything about God here.
Mm-hmm.
But the devil is a liar. We still got time. We still are able to praise God. We still are able to worship him and buy Bibles and get the word of God. When it comes that day and time when you can't get the word of God, it's going to be a sorry time. Some of these people in these other countries cannot get the word of God. People are being killed because they're trying to get the word of God. People are undercover, underground, having churches underground because they can't have it, because they live in communist countries. They can't serve and worship a God that they want to worship. They got to worship whatever God that country tells them to worship. Whether it's Buddha, whether it's some tree, I don't know what they worshiping over there in them old crazy countries. But we live in the United States, and I'm telling you, people just don't want to serve God. All these churches on these different corners, and people still holding hands with the devil and still think they serving God. Lord have mercy today. What's going to take for us to wake up? What's it going to take for us to really wake up? I don't know. Let me tell you something. I'm over here shaking my head because we got to get it together. I want to read something to y'all I got online. And it was this foundational scriptures on the mind. And the guy says, before I share in detail some aspects of this great subject, I first want to draw your attention to a few basic verses concerning the believer's use of the mind. He said the key verse is Romans 12:2. What do I say to y'all all the time? Don't I say this scripture all the time? Romans 12:2.
Okay.
And he said we will spend much time with this scripture in the next study, but here we must start our path of exploration. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay? He says, the pattern of this world, this age, the times in which we live, comes to us through the five senses, and we know that. The media, our family and friends, the people with whom we work, present and defend a pattern, the media, our family and friends, the people with whom we work, present and defend a pattern that they expect us to follow. However, the word is clear, do not conform. Do not conform. The positive action we must take is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are told to renew the mind we have, not that we receive a new mind at the new birth. Watchman Nee wisely observed, how many of God's children, although hitherto saved and possessed of a new life, still carry about them an old head?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing of their former theories, thought processes, or prejudice have been altered. Only a Christian casing has been added. The command of the word is to renew the mind, to bring it back to the state of newness that God intended. Okay? Bring it back to a newness that God intended. We were not intended to be sinners. This is me talking. I'm not reading from the paper anymore. We were not intended to be sinners. We were not. God didn't create us to be sinners.
Amen.
If you read the book of Genesis and see how Adam walked with the Lord, he walked with the Lord in the coolness of the day. They had a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then God said, it's not good for man to be alone, so he made a woman for the man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And everything was still good. And then God
mm-hmm.
told Adam before he made the woman, you know, you can chill and eat out of all this other stuff. You can eat off these other trees and everything, but just don't eat off of this one tree. Don't eat off this tree. Just the one tree. Now you got all these trees in this garden. And God said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just the one tree.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes Miss Know-It-All. Listening to sneaky, slimy devil. He all subtle. He said, did God really say that? Has God said? How many times the devil come to you and say, do it really take all of that, Felicia?
Mm-hmm.
Does it really take all of that? Do you really have to live holy? Felicia, do you really have to just, you know, be single and be celibate? Do you really have to do that? Come on now, Felicia. You know you're mad. You know you want to cuss that person out. Come on, Felicia. God ain't going to be mad at you if you do that. He know. He said you could be angry. It's all right. Go ahead. That's how the devil does.
Right. And that's why it's important that we rebuke him when he comes. See, when he came to Eve, she didn't rebuke that, but she conversated back with him. He noticed her ignorance or her lack thereof of the word, and that's how he was able to get in. So it's important, like you said, that we get in God's word, and when the enemy comes, we have to rebuke him. Amen. We cannot counsel the devil. We cannot, you know, entertain the devil, but we have to rebuke him. The Bible says, rebuke him, he shall flee. Resist him and he shall flee. So we must just resist the devil. We must rebuke him when he comes, and don't entertain those thoughts. Don't entertain him when he comes, because that's an open door for him to get in, you know. So just wanted to say that.
And thank you for that, because you know if you give him a foothold and you allow him to stay there, he's going to get a stronghold. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We got to get him out when we know he's there by in the name of Jesus. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I have authority over you, and I take that authority over you right now in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so-and-so made mm-hmm. me mad, but I'm not going to cuss him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so-and-so made me, yep, I'm not going to cuss him out. That's what I used to do. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. That's what I used to do. I have a new mind in Christ Jesus. But if you don't have a new mind, you can't say all of that. If you don't know the word of God, you can't say all of that. But even baby Christians can say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't know the word, say that. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And if you can't say that, start calling on Jesus. Start calling on Jesus. You think it's kind of curious that the serpent went to Eve and didn't go to Adam?
All right. Say that.
You think that's a little curious that he went to Eve and did not go to Adam? Why didn't he go to Adam? Something to think about, huh? God gave the word to Adam. God gave the word to Adam. But what gets me about Adam, because when I play this story over in my mind, it says Eve took of the fruit and she ate it, and then she gave it to her husband. So
right.
Was Adam there when the serpent was speaking to Eve? I don't know if he was there or not, but he knew what the word of God said and partook of it anyway. See, this is what we do. We know the word of God, and we partake of the forbidden fruit anyway. You say, oh, Adam was wrong and Eve was wrong. How wrong are we that we partake of the forbidden fruit anyway? Once we become born again, the fruit of our old lives is forbidden.
Yes.
Once we partake of the righteousness of God, the stuff that we used to do is forbidden. The sinful nature is supposed to die, but the sinful nature is not going to die if you keep feeding it. If we keep feeding our sinful nature, it cannot die. It's going to continue to live. Our sinful nature wants to live. Our sinful nature wants to continue doing what it wants to do. Our mind still wants to think on the things that we want to think on and do the things that we want to do. But we have to train ourselves. We have to renew ourselves. We have to be transformed, just like Romans says. But we can't do it without getting in the Word of God. We can't do it without asking the Holy Spirit to help us. We got to invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me mortify the deeds of my flesh. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me. Guard my mouth, because my mouth about to say something I don't have no business saying. I had to say that at work this morning. I was like, Holy Ghost, I need you to come right here and help me right now. I really need you to help me, Holy Ghost, because if you don't, it might be a problem. I'm serious. I sat right there at the desk and said that. You need to help me, Holy Ghost, because if you don't help me, it might be a problem. And that's how I talk to the Holy Ghost. That's how I talk
right.
to God. I didn't say, oh, thou greatest Holy Ghost, come and sit here beside us, me. And I don't do all of that.
I know that.
Nah, Holy Ghost. I need you right now, because it's about to be a problem.
Amen.
He understands me. He understands me. We got a relationship.
Exactly.
Okay? Holy Ghost, for real, please help me. Now, there's times the Holy Ghost will tell me stuff, and I won't listen. I'll go off right to my little tantrum and, you know, do whatever or say whatever. You know, most of my problems that I have is because of this mouth of mine. That's most of my problem comes with this mouth. Okay? I don't have a problem with going out there committing adultery and, you know, stealing and lying. And all. I don't have a problem with those things anymore. Praise God. But this mouth right here, this tongue, trying to tame this tongue, the Bible said the tongue no man can tame. That's why we need the Holy Ghost, because it's an unruly evil set on fire from hell. And this tongue will speak things that are ungodly if I don't get it in check. And just like you said this morning about those wolves, okay, I don't have to curse. I don't have to curse, but it's the way I say things. The attitude in which I say it. So it's not all about cursing, but it's about what you say. But a lot of people can say things to hurt you without cursing. They just know the right things to say. Murmuring and complaining. Another wolf. Oh, God, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Well, you saying all of that, and now you're really tired. But I am tired, Lord. I know, but stop saying that. Ask me for strength, and I'll give you strength.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll do that. But see, we want to party with the devil. We want to party with the devil. Mm-mm. No, we got to have a renewed mind. Can I tell you this? The devil never wants you to renew your mind.
Ever. Amen.
Believe that. The devil never wants you to renew your mind. That's why all these distractions come. Okay? That's why every time you turn around, you think, okay, I know tomorrow I'm going to get in my word. I'm really going to read my word. And every time you turn around, distractions are coming. Oh, I got to run here. I got to do this. Somebody want me to do this. I got to do this. When you look, another day done gone by. You ain't renewed your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The devil don't want us to pray. You look up, another day go. I have not been at 6 o'clock prayer. I don't even know if God want me to do that right now. So I'm just chilling, waiting for him to tell me what to do. That's why I haven't been on 6 o'clock prayer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
God not going to force us to do anything, but I want to make sure that's what he want me to do. All right?
Yeah.
Because it was a struggle to do that. I don't believe that whenever God tells you to do something, it's not that burdensome. It's not burdensome. Like, you want to do it. Like, I've been sleeping through it. Come on now, there's a problem here. It
mm-hmm.
sounds good
mm-hmm.
to have prayer at 6 o'clock, but is that God's will to do it on the phone at 6 o'clock? Okay? So
mm-hmm.
until he says
mm-hmm.
otherwise, I'm not going to get on there. All right?
Mm-hmm.
There's things that we can do that sound good, but if God ain't say do it like that, then don't do it. Wait on him.
Mm-hmm.
But pray anyway. Then we get so used to these forms and, you know, these set in our ways that we have to pray at 6 o'clock. Why? God is alive, awake every, he's awake every second of the day. Why I got to pray at 6 o'clock?
Because
it sounds good. It's like we heard somebody else say it. You know, somebody else is doing it. So we, chill out with that. And then when it becomes burdensome, you're like, man, God, why I got to pray at 6 o'clock? Well, I ain't tell you to do that. That's something you made up.
No, I'm not.
Now, think on that for a minute. Now, well, I love me. I do.
Amen.
Because I'm me. I don't have to try to be anybody else. I'm just me.
Amen.
I'm just me, but guess what? God want me to be him. He want my character to be like his every day.
Yeah.
He want my character to be like his every hour. He
yeah.
want my character to be so much like his that just like the apostles, who was that girl, Paul? Was it Paul? Who was that apostle that when the priest when he walked past him, just the shadow of him, they got healed? Peter.
Peter. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. He just walked past in the shadow, they got healed. You know that man had some power.
Mm-hmm.
You know that man was not holding hands with the devil while he was trying to walk with God. And the thing about the book of Acts, which we need to go back and read, like my husband said, when you look in the book of Acts, those people was praying. They attended unto prayer.
Yeah,
while the
yeah.
other people were anointed to serve. They
yeah.
were anointed to serve so they could know what to do so they wouldn't have to bother the men of God who were in prayer so that when they came out of prayer, they could walk past people and people would get healed by their shadow. They could lay hands on the people and they would get healed. They would speak
mm-hmm.
a word to the people and they would get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
They spoke the word of God with power. They spoke the word of God with authority because
yes.
they were in prayer while the other people were anointed to serve. They were not attending unto foolishness. They didn't have their mind on the world. They were in prayer. They were not playing patty cake with the devil. They were in prayer. They didn't come
mm-hmm.
out of prayer and then go sit in a club. They didn't come out of prayer and then go sit with those that were doing things that were against God. They attended unto what God wanted them to do because they were in prayer seeking God's face for the people.
while the other people were anointed to serve.
Hallelujah.
They were anointed and appointed to serve while the men of God were in prayer. So if God sends us somebody to serve us, we're not supposed to be sitting around doing everything else. We're supposed to be in prayer, seeking
Amen.
God for what he wants, so that when we go forth, we can do what he wants us to do. But if we're in the world trying to hold hands with Satan and trying to serve God, it's not going to work. Why do you think there's no power? Where's the power at? Why are so many people getting sick? So many people going in the hospital and not coming out? Why are people just dying of sickness and all this cancer and this, that, and the third? Yeah, we can say the cancer is coming from the pesticides and this, that, and the third, but come on. There's too many people that are saying they know Jesus for all these people to be walking around here sick.
Amen.
And why is it like this? Because we will not attend to prayer. We will not give ourselves completely to God. See, that's why the Bible talks about, Paul said, I wish y'all were like I am. See, because he attended to God. He said, I would that the woman wouldn't even marry, because that way you can give yourself fully to God. You ain't got to worry about the kids and the husband and the house and, you know, this and that. You ain't got to worry about all of that. You just give yourself unto God. That's all you worried about, God and what he wants. That, I couldn't understand a nun for the life of me. I was like, Lord, I never want to be a nun. First of all, I like men too much to be a nun. I wasn't going to sacrifice all of that and be a nun. Okay, God didn't call me to be a nun. I got that much sense to know that he didn't do that. But to whoever he called to do that, they're attending unto God. They don't have any outside influences to cause them to turn away from God. Yeah, they in a what they call it, a monastery. That's where the men go. Where the women go? I don't know. Huh? The women go to a convent, and the men go to a monastery. And in that convent, they don't have no, they don't have TVs. They don't have telephones. They in there attending to God. They in there doing whatever God told them to do. They praying. They reading their word. They studying God. And some of us, our TVs need to blow up. My computer's already blowing up. Maybe that's a sign. Woo!
Hallelujah.
I get on my old nerves sometimes. Woo! But it's the truth. If we spend as much time in the Word of God that we spend looking at TV, we'd be some powerful people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if we spend as much time in prayer as we do looking at TV, we'd be some powerful people. What? Oh, we'd be some powerful people. Lord, help me.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because I want to go to a whole nother place in God, and I feel it. I feel a makeover coming, not just the outward appearance, but I'm talking about a complete makeover. And you know why? Because I want it. That cocoon that I keep talking about, that cocoon is for me, so that I can be transformed, that I can be the woman that God wants me to be, because it's time out for the foolishness. It's too many people waiting to be healed. It's too many people waiting to be delivered. It's too many people out here hurting and bent over in the spirit and looking for help. And here I am with the power of God, and I'm just sitting here. But see, God wants me to be transformed. He wants some more things got to shed. You know, I got to get my relationship more right with him. And that's for each and every one of us, but I'm talking about me right now. I got to attend myself in prayer, No matter who comes or who doesn't, I got to be in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I got to fast. I got to seek God for what he wants to do in my life. Not for Teresa, no, but for God. I got to be transformed. I got to be renewed in my mind. I got to renew my mind with the word of God. I got to fall in love with God. Like, he's the only thing that matters in my life. I got to act like and live like my life depends on God, because it does. See, I'm 48 years old. I'm 48. I don't know when I'm leaving out of here. The way my heart was hurting last night, I thought I was leaving last night. Because my heart was really just, woo, it was doing some things. And I was like laying in the bed, and I was like, Lord, I don't know what is going on. I was like, but I need you to help me in the name of Jesus. Like, I really don't want to die. And I was like, but if it's your will, okay, but I really don't want to die. Like, this is the conversation I was having in my bed. I didn't holler. I didn't scream. I didn't wake up my husband. I didn't call 911. But my heart literally was hurting so bad last night, I didn't know what to do. I didn't even move. I just laid there and talked to God until it went away. And my heart started beating right. And I had to tell my heart, I need you to start beating right now in the name of Jesus. I do not know what's going on, but you're not going to do this. Like, literally, like, what's wrong? I'm laying in the bed. Why would my heart start aching like it was aching last night? It was crazy. And I'm like, wow, amazing, that the way it happened. But God healed it. When I got up this morning, my heart wasn't feeling that way. God healed it. But see, God wants us to go into another place for him. He doesn't want us to be continuously, every time you turn around, you're getting consumed by that old stupid wolf. Every time you turn around, it's the same thing, it's the same thing. It's time to grow up in God. It's time to seek holiness and live holy, no matter who wants to or who doesn't. That's how come Jesus said, if you can't cut off your family and friends, your family, you're not worthy to follow me. See, family wants to be number one in your life, but God's like, you shall have no other God before me. I gave you family, but guess what? I am where your life comes from. Don't push me on the back burner for your family. I know you love your family, but I am God. And when you need to be healed, your family can't heal you. When you need deliverance, your family can't deliver you. Your family, your friends, your pastor, whoever. If we can't forsake our family to serve God, if we can't forsake our TV or whatever it is to serve God, we're not even worthy to be called a disciple. If we can't stop pleasing our flesh, are we worthy to even be called a disciple? No, because if we allow our flesh to rule, then we really don't belong to God anyway. We better check our salvation. And I think that should be the next topic, Pastor Felicia. Check your salvation. Check it. Because a disciple of Jesus Christ, not just a follower, see, because you can follow somebody and not be their disciple. A disciple is going to learn from their master. They're going to study their master, and they're going to learn. And then they're going to emulate. They're going to copy their master. Okay? They're going to imitate their master. They're going to do what their master does. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans that whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, that's whose servant you are. If you keep yielding to the devil, you're the devil's servant. I don't care how many Sundays you go to church. I don't care how many Wednesdays you go to Bible study. If you still acting like the devil, you belong to the devil. And I'm talking
Amen.
About if you're living a lifestyle of sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect.
Yeah.
All right? So I'm not even saying that. What I'm saying is if you're living a lifestyle of sin, living, haven't made a conscious decision in your mind to change nothing.
Yes.
But keep going to church every Sunday and keep lifting up unholy hands. Unholy hands. And thinking, yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm all right with God. I'm what? This one thing I know, if I don't know nothing else, God's not confused. Okay?
Amen.
And we can say God knows our heart all day long, and you are exactly right, because he does know our heart all day long. That's why he said, don't look at the outside. No, don't judge him on the outside. I'm going by the heart. Even David, when God chose David to be king, David was with his brothers, and the prophet went to go and look for the king. And he was looking at their outward appearance, and God said, not by the outward appearance. I judge the heart. And he chose David.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the brothers was like, what? I'm older than him. How did he get chosen king? But see, God looks at the heart. People look at me and be like, I'm her evangelist, because they look at who I used to be and don't know who I am today.
Hallelujah.
A lot of people won't listen to this message because, oh, that's just Teresa. But shame on you that you don't want to hear the word of God, because you're missing the whole message because you don't like the messenger. But shame on you, because all I'm responsible for is giving it. You don't have to listen to it. You don't ever have to turn to Blog Talk Radio. It's okay with me. But guess what? If it was a word for you and you didn't tune in because that's just Teresa, that's your problem. Not mine.
Amen.
But everything ain't for everybody. Everything ain't for everybody. But the people that I am supposed to minister to, those are the people that I want to minister to.
Yeah.
The people who are supposed to get saved because God used me, that's what I want to happen. The people that are supposed to get healed because God used me, that's what I want to happen. Up to and including my husband. If my husband's supposed to get healed because of whatever God has placed in me, then I want my husband to be healed.
Amen.
When we first got together, we used to talk about that all the time. And he's like, God said he's going to use you for me to get my healing. And I've been thinking about that lately. And I'm like, God, what you going to do? How you going to use me? Are you going to use me? What's going to happen? I want my husband to be healed. Whatever that means.
Hallelujah.
Whatever that means. I don't know what it means in the fullness of it, but whatever it means. So, we got to get it together, is what I know.
Amen.
I want to read a little bit more about this, with this man wrote, that I pulled off the internet at Foundational Scriptures on Renewing the Mind. That's what it's called, Foundational Scriptures on Renew It and Why, but it's actually www.peterwade.com/articles/wade/renew02.shtml. That's a lot, but that's what it says, okay? He says, an interesting fact to note in passing is that the Greek word here translated mind appears only in Paul's epistles, with three exceptions. Obviously, God has much to say about the mind, especially in the church epistles addressed to believers today. The key verse states that the result of renewing the mind will be to test and prove what God's will is. The test is by experience what the word of God promises. Renewing the mind is a present tense, continuous action of walking on the word of God. It is not possible to do this unless you have first renewed your mind to the word. But when you do, you will test by actual experience in reality that the will of God is good, pleasing, and perfect. He said a similar statement about the mind is given in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:22 and 23. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by his deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:22 and 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He said the Greek text employs a different word for renewed. He said the King James Version says new. Renewed is the King James Version. New is the NIV. And he says it's a word meaning rejuvenate. Rejuvenate. He said get some new life, a new zest into your mind. Notice also the words put off and put on. The old deceitful desires, which are corrupt, have to be put off. The old deceitful desires, and this is me talking, the old deceitful desires, which have to be put off, is something that we got to do, but we got to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Okay? We need the Holy Spirit to help us. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Okay? Mm-hmm. We need the Holy Spirit. Why do we think we got the Holy Spirit? Why did Jesus send us the Holy Spirit back? Just so we can speak in tongues. That's why.
Nope.
I think that's what some people believe. We got the Holy Spirit just so we can speak in tongues. And what good is speaking in tongues if, first of all, you don't even know what you're saying? Okay, I know we speak in tongues to edify ourselves in prayer or whatever. But some people just go in church and speak in tongues all loud and everything. Nobody know what you're talking about. You ain't edifying me. You're not edifying the body. And to the unbeliever, they think you crazy. That's why we got to do things decently and in order. People act like they can't control themselves. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit can. He controls himself. Folks like to show out and show off. But the Holy Ghost knows how to control himself very well. Okay? But we need the Holy Ghost to help us to mortify our flesh. Our flesh is stinky and filthy and just wants to do whatever it wants to do. Come on now. Come on now. We know our flesh just want to do whatever it wants to do. And if we tell the truth, if we tell the truth, I'm going to tell the truth because I want to be delivered. I want to be free. I'm going to tell the truth. Okay? We sometimes, well, I'm not going to say we sometimes, because I ain't into holding, I don't want to hold hands with the devil. He don't have nothing for me. Nothing. He has nothing for me. At all. Huh? Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. I've written a message from Evangelist Mac. Okay, she's going on vacation tomorrow. Till the 29th. Okay. All right. So I guess we won't have Jesus in the morning until she come back from vacation. But guess what? Amen. She need a vacation. She's been doing this for 2 years. She Amen. Need a vacation. Glory to God. I bless the name of the Lord. I bless mm-hmm. the name of the Lord. I bless the name of the Lord.
Thank God.
Okay. Enjoy yourself. Anyway, so we got to make a conscious decision to renew our minds. We have to make a conscious decision that the devil hates us. He's not our friend. He don't like us. He never has liked us. He's never going to like us. All he wants us to do is go to hell and then finally wind up in the lake of fire. That's what he wants. Can I tell y'all that and y'all believe it? Okay, you'll have to believe it if you don't want to. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. Satan hates you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He wants people to believe the false doctrine going around that you could serve God and hold hands with him too. He wants us to be so stupid that we will walk around thinking that we can continuously do sin and still be all right with God. He wants us to be so ignorant and blinded to the fact that God is good no matter what we do. He is, but God is, he all right with what we do. This is what Satan wants us to feel like, so that we can get caught up in the trap of blindness. And so many people walking around blind and don't even know they're blind. So many people walking around in darkness and don't even know that they're in darkness. So many people walking around reprobate and don't even know they're reprobate.
Okay.
And I'm saying, God, I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be reprobate. I don't want to be none of that. So if I'm doing something that is wrong, clean me up. I give you total permission to clean me up. Whatever, clean me up, God. I know he get ready to pull me off my job, too. He get ready to pull me off my job. I know he get ready to pull me off my job. I know it. So I can attend to ministry. I can't do ministry. I was like, Lord, I'm trying to get this women's conference together, and I have nobody to help me. I can't work and do the work of the Lord, too. I can't do it. I'm not that girl. I don't have that in me to be able to work and do ministry, too. I do Blog Talk Radio, but I'm talking about doing the rest of the stuff he want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's going to pull me off that job. And I don't want him to have to let me get my leg broken or something drastic to happen for me to go. I don't want that. I don't need God to get my attention. All right? Not like that. I want to just, when he tell me to go, I'm out. When he tell me to go, I'm out. I got to stop looking at the stuff. You know what I mean? The bills. Because God's going to provide. Mm-hmm. If he call me off the job, he going to provide.
Amen.
I got to believe that. My husband already believes that. I got to believe it. So when he say,
amen,
don't go back there, I better not go back. Because then whatever happens after God tells us what to do and we don't do it, that's on us. If God said don't and we do, whatever happens after the, we did it is on us. We can't go back to God and say, God, why you let that happen? What? He told you not to drink that drink and you did it anyway. He told you not to go over there, but you did it anyway. So when there's no protection in disobedience, you want God to protect us. We want God to protect us in everything we do. We just want God to go with the flow. Go on, God. Come on there. Go on with the flow. That's what we want. We're just as nutty as a fruitcake.
You're right.
We act like, I don't know where my husband at. I know he's somewhere around, but I don't hear him, but we act like God is supposed to bow to us. We act like we made him instead of he made us. We act like we're the potter and he the clay.
Mm-hmm.
We got to twist it. What happened? My sister says, how do you know when God say don't do something? Because you get a check right in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You get a check. You be like, you get an unction. Like, you know how you say something told me not to do that. That's how, you know that something is God telling you.
Mm-hmm.
You feel uneasy about a certain thing. You get ready to go do it, and you be like, I know I shouldn't do this. I don't feel right about doing this.
Amen.
I know when God tell me, sometimes God will tell me to do something just as simple, and I know he be testing me to see if I'm going to obey him. He'll tell me to do something simple, like pick that up before you do that. And I'd be like, I'm going to pick it up when I come back. And then that unction in my spirit is like, pick it up before you go do that. And I go back. I'm like, man. And then I pick it up. And then I go and do it. But see, God wants us to obey him the first time. He said it.
Mm-hmm.
Not contemplate and question him and decide, oh, I think, I guess I'll do it. He wants us to have so much faith in him and believe him and obey him that when he says do something, just do it. But see, we got to really, like, be in relationship with him. Like, God is teaching me some things. He's really teaching me some things. And some of it I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it I don't like because it just don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just being honest because sometimes when God is, he's cleaning us up or he's putting us in that cocoon so that we can be renewed, so that we can be transformed, it don't always feel good. It's like, I don't even know how to explain it, but it just doesn't always feel good. We know it's for our good, but it don't always feel good. But see, we're not supposed to go on our feeling. We're just supposed to obey God. We're just supposed to obey God. And some of the things God tells us to do to help us, it don't feel good to our flesh. We don't want to stop doing what we're doing to please God. Because sometimes we think, well, so-and-so might get mad if I stop doing this. So-and-so might get mad if I read my Bible. So-and-so might get mad if I change. I said that out my own mouth. I said that out my own mouth in another relationship that I was in. I was like, they're going to get mad if I do this and do that. But I was more concerned about the person than I was about God. And I stunted my growth because of that. I don't know where I would be today had I obeyed God back then. I don't know where I would be. I might be further in ministry. I don't know. But see, we got to obey God just because he says to obey him. That's it. We got to obey God. And I'm like, Lord, oh, please help me. Please help me, Lord. I need you to help me. Like, I really need you to help me. And that's all God wants. All he wants is humility. He just wants us to be humble before him. He wants us to be like little children before him. He don't want us to come to him all pompous and pious and all grown. I'm grown. You know how when kids get older, I'm grown. You can't tell me what to do no more. I'm grown. I'm going to do me. I'm going to do what I do. You know, that's how we treat God sometimes. I'm grown. But he wants to be like little children, just have blind faith. And when he tells us to do something, to just do it and not worry about what somebody else say. Because guess what? Somebody else don't have a heaven or hell to put us in.
Amen.
We'd rather obey God than obey man. Because guess what? In the end, it's going to be about the choices that we made. It's a shame. It's going to be about the choices that we made. We can't blame God. Can't blame God. At all. So when I feel like I want to just act crazy, and the Holy Ghost say, don't say that, and I say it anyway, and then whatever happens after that, I can't blame God. I'm going to blame God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. And we do that foolishness. We blame God. All I know today is we either going to serve God or we not. We either going to make up our minds that whatever it takes, God, I want to live for you. Whatever it takes, we got to make our mind up to do that. Because we love him. Some people go out of their way for people because they love them. They be tired.
Yeah.
They be tired as I don't know what. But let somebody call and say, I need so-and-so and I need this. And they be right at it. But when God say pray, you be like, I'm tired, God. I can't pray right now. Huh?
Mm.
Who life we might be saving because we obey God? The life you save might be your own.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else, we going to run here and run the Easter bullet. My sister say Easter bubble. But everybody else, but when it come to God, mm-mm. I'm tired now. Lord, I done run all day long. I'm tired now. Come on, people. Satan hates us.
Okay.
I'm talking to y'all, but I'm talking to me. I'm number one. I'm number one. It's me. My husband says it. He says it's me. It's me. It's me, oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. Help me.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to submit to you, God. Help me. Stop relying on or using as an excuse. Oh, well, this is just the way I am. God done heard that so many times. I bet he's just sick of hearing it. It's just the way I am. I can't help it. I can't change. Well, we can change. We can change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can change. You know what I asked God for, Felicia? God for a friend who can help me and to encourage me and just be with me like a prayer partner and a Bible reading partner. You know, I have, you know, when it comes to exercise, I have no willpower at all. I will not go to the gym just because. You know, I see some people sometimes, and their willpower is so great. They just go, they'll go to the gym, they'll exercise, and they do all that stuff without any encouragement at all. And I say, Lord, I wish I could be like that because I do need to exercise. I need to lose some weight. I do. But I wish I had a friend, somebody I could, you know what I mean? Somebody that could just be here. Somebody could be with my husband. Somebody could be with me, and we could just get in the word together, and we could pray together. And I'm like, Lord, why can't I find anybody? I can't find nobody in Philadelphia. That's why I believe God's going to call us out of Philadelphia.
Right.
If he say go, I'm ready to go, because you know people don't receive you in your own country.
I mean,
the word of God, a prophet is not received in their own country.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Oh, Teresa, he is just, huh? Okay, bye. You know what I mean? And sometimes I feel so lonely walking this walk. I feel so lonely. And you know when you feel lonely like that, the enemy will come in. You know that wolf is lurking because he's like, oh, yeah, she lonely. So let me go in and let me sneak in and put this in here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, because she lonely. Let me do this and let me do that. But see, the loneliness, God's going to send somebody. I already know it.
Yeah.
He's going to send somebody for my husband, and he's going to send somebody for me. He already sent you because you've been a blessing on this Blog Talk Radio.
Well,
I think so. But I need some, let me say this, I want somebody to be able to, let's just pick up the word and read the word.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just pray. We don't got to talk about nothing about happened today. Let's just read the word and let's just pray.
Because
sometimes we need that. But what we really need is a relationship with God.
Oh, yeah.
And then when he gets ready for us to have that person or those people, he'll send them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said all of that to say that we can do this. We just need to trust God.
Amen.
We need to stop looking at people and just trust God. Whatever instructions God has given you, just do it. You know, it took me so long to leave the church I was in because I was scared to leave. Because I thought, well, what they going to say? How they going to do? And I still have episodes where I'll be like, oh, man, I wonder what they're thinking about me right now. I know they're talking about me. You know, these things that we just say in our minds that don't necessarily have to be true, but that's how we feel. And in some cases, it is true. But it doesn't matter if it's true or not. If God say leave, you better leave. Because if you don't, then you're causing more problems for yourself. And when God said leave, I was like, I don't want to leave. Like, again, I got to leave another church? Because God is trying to get me in that place where he want me to be. And this is what he's doing with us. As those that have ears to hear, he's getting us to a place, because when he come back, it's going to be a swift thing. It's going to be a quick thing when he come back. It's not going to be time to run and get yourself together. We got to do it now. If he's got us in a cocoon, that's where we need to be until he say it's time to come out. When we will have been transformed, now we can go forth and do what he want us to do. And it's up to us. He's not going to make us change. It's up to us. So now I'm like, okay, Lord, I hear you, Lord. But then you look around and you see people doing things, you know. You see people going here and you see people having fun and you see people doing this and you see people doing that. And you be like, God, well, why can't I? Because I'm calling you to myself. I'm calling you to a place in myself that you've never been before. And that's what he's doing. He's calling us to a place in him that we've never been. And I say with my mouth, Lord, I want to go. I want to go where you want me to go. And we say with our mouth, Lord, I want to live right. I want to do right. But then when you tell us to do X, Y, Z, we don't want to do that. We all know that's true. God said, get in my word and read my word. Read my word. When I hang up the phone, I'm going to read the word. As we can finish this broadcast. My flesh is tired. My body is tired. It's a natural thing to be tired after you worked all day or did whatever you did all day. It's natural for your body to be tired. But I got to get this word. I got to get this word. I got to get this word.
Yes.
And that's what we got to do. Stop and pause. Pause. Take a station break. Stop, chill out, pick up the Bible and read it. Because it's able to save your soul. It's able to save your soul. Because after reading Revelation, if you read Revelation 20, I wouldn't read Revelation for a long time. I was scared of the book of Revelation. I went and read it. And, oh, my husband did a whole complete study on Revelation. He taught out of Revelation. I went and read it. I'm like, I'm not reading that. Because the book of Revelation was scary to me. And you know why it was scary to me? Because I was going to be thrown into that lake that burned with fire and brimstone. I was one of them people that was thinking I was serving God, but still holding hands with the devil. I was one of them. So I didn't want to read Revelation because it was telling me where I was going to go.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear that. I'm going to read it. Revelation 20. It says, and I saw an angel coming down out of heaven. Wait, I got to change version. That's the new the NIV. I'm changing. I don't want to read that. Where is it? That's the King James. I'm going to see the new King James on here. I'm going to just read it out of the King James. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. You hear all the names that he called him?
Mm-hmm.
The old dragon. Well, he laid hands on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. Remember that 666? Which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. Remember that 666? Or in their hand. And lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Okay? But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, mm-hmm. every man according to his works, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So who's ever telling you you can live holding Satan's hand while trying to serve God, they're lying to you. If you think you can serve the devil and go to heaven, it's a lie. We just read it here. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If we live unholy, we're not going to be found in the book of life. If you don't remember anything else I say, remember that. You can't live unholy and your name be written in the Lamb's book of life. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. You're not so cute that God just going to put your name in a book of life because you cute. You don't speak that eloquently that God going to put your name in a book of life.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something. You got to live right. You got to love God with your heart, your soul, your spirit. You got to love God. And the Bible said, Jesus said, and the second commandment is like unto that. Love your neighbor as yourself. How you love your neighbor and you hate your neighbor? How you love your neighbor and you really can't stand your neighbor? The Bible said, how can we love God whom we have not even seen and we can't even stand our brother? I can't stand you, Gerald. Oh, but God, I love you. You's a liar. We've been deceived if we think that. So whatever God is moving on you to do in your life, do it. It may seem hard but do it, because in the end, it's everlasting life. God's not going to tell us something to hurt us. He's telling us stuff to save us, because he loves us. He loves us so much that he wants us to live a holy life before him. And holiness is not what we just want holiness to be. Holiness is living the character of God. Living the character of God. Well, I don't know what holiness is. He just told you. He just told you. Living the character of God. I never heard that before. How do you live the character of God? Find out who God is by reading his word. Find out who he is. I'm a holy God.
Hallelujah.
Well, God, does it really take all that? Yes. It takes all of that. Well, God, I can't have no fun. Yes, you can. Get around some holy people.
Mm-hmm.
You can have fun. Get a group of holy people and go bowling. You could do that. Get a group of holy people and have a party at your house. You could do that. One thing about my sister, me and my sister, we don't have to drink to have fun. We just crazy anyway. We don't have to drink to have fun. But we're so conditioned in our minds that we think we have to do everything the world has to do. No, we don't. No, we don't. God will show us just what to do. But then once we begin to do the work of the Lord, all the other stuff not going to matter. When we get our mind focused on preaching the word of God, teaching the word of God, getting folks to come to Jesus Christ so they can be saved, oh, all the other stuff not going to even matter.
Amen.
Because we're going to be kingdom-minded. We're going to be focused on what he wants us to do. So all the other stuff, it's not going to matter. Sure, we're going to sometimes want to do this or we're going to want to do that sometimes. Sure. Not saying we're not going to. Sure we are. But it's not going to be so such a dominating thing in our life that we feel like, oh, man, I just don't want to serve God because he just don't let us have no fun and he just don't da-da-da-da-da. That's from the enemy. What'd she say? No, I don't. What? No, I don't. I'm chilling, not doing anything. It's not fun like that. I can't. I can do without it. What you mean, no, I don't? Nobody was talking about you. What you talking about? No, I don't. What's that monkey talking about right there? Oh, she must be saying, no, I don't. She don't have to drink to have fun. What is you talking about? See, she need to be on the phone because I don't know what she's talking about right now. I can't get her because she's all the way over there in the other part of the city, so I can't get her. But I don't know what she's talking about. Now she done said stop. What is you talking about, Shirley Moore? What are you talking about, Shirley Moore? Shopping is fun. No, it's not. If you don't have any money, shopping's not fun. It's on the chat room. Your name is right there. Yep, your government. It's right there. It's right there for all the world to see. See what I mean? That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. She said wish shopping is not fun either. I don't like wish shopping. I wish I had this. I wish I Something wrong with her. We're not going to talk to her right now. Anyway, if we have approximately 10 minutes. Anybody got anything to say? Felicia, her husband, Shirley can't say nothing on the line, on the air, because she didn't call. She did call earlier, and then she hung up. I'm listening. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when you were talking about the characteristics of Christ, I was, you know, the characteristics of Christ is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, when it talks about, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Against such there is no law. You know, when we carry, because all of these are all inclusive, and that it all goes together. It's not fruits, plural, of the Spirit, but it's one fruit bearing all those, all of those. And it's all, you know, it's all together. And, you know, we have to truly, it also talks about walking in the Spirit. When we walk in all those, when we walk in that fruit, we're walking in the characteristics of Christ. And it's not easy, you know. self-control, sometimes a lot of times I have a hard time with, you know. long-suffering, you know, I have a hard time with. So, you know. But as we continue to trust God and get in His Word, like you say, read His Word, read it out loud, meditate on His Word, you know, get in His presence, and then He'll begin to purge us and He'll begin to cleanse us. And, you know, like you said, that God causes you to go through some things and it don't feel good, and it's not going to feel good. That's because we are so comfortable in the things that we have done, you know, we are so used to doing them. When God begins to cut, you know, those things up out of us, it don't feel good because, you know, it's not something that we're used to. But I just wanted to talk about that characteristic. So if you want to know somebody's characteristics and, you know, you want to, you always want to test the Spirit of God, amen, check out their fruit. You know, are they walking in the fruit of the Spirit? You know, even us ourselves, are we walking in the fruit of the Spirit? Amen.
Amen.
Some of y'all got on fruit of the looms, but you need to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Get them fruit of the looms out the way and walk in the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
He said amen.
Amen, child. But let me say this, and as we're winding up, good evening, Pastor Felicia, and to Evangelist Scott, listening audience, and those in the chat room, and those that will be in the archives in a day or so. Let me just say this, that we need to really begin to really meditate on the four Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to look at the life of Christ in a real sense of the word. You know, not even just the miracles and not even just the words, but the walk that he walked in and who he surrounded himself with and who he touched and who he found time to be with. And most of the time,
mm-hmm.
the people that he found time to be with, we don't find time to be with. We always want to, we strive to be with the old folks used to call the mucky mucks, the prestigious, the successful, the notoriety folk. Not just the common people, the underdog, the disenfranchised. Those are the people that we shy away from. But that's our ministry. That's our ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think what the problem is, we need to surround ourselves with people that will encourage, that will support, that will strengthen us in character. We don't need to be around negative folk. We don't need to be around woe is me folk. We need to be around people that will challenge us. And in order to do the work that God called us to do. So there's two types of people that we need, in essence, to make our lives really worth meaning and have purpose to them. The first is we need people that will lift us up, that will encourage us, and encouragement doesn't always mean yes men and yes women. It's people that will say, no, you're wrong. No, that's not the way you do it. No, you need to backtrack and look at that thing again. People that will really put us to the fire if need be, but they encourage us in that way. See, every chastisement is not for destruction. Most chastisement, if it's in Christ, is for your betterment. It's for my betterment, so we can grow. You know, a yes man will keep you where you are. A man that will show you, or a woman that will show you the error of your way will help you move to the next level of your life. I don't want people to tell me, oh, yeah, you're the best thing since apple pie. I want somebody to say sometimes that apple is bitter. Sometimes that apple needs to be more ripe, as you were talking about the fruit. I like that because a fruit is made up of a whole lot of parts. A fruit is made up of the skin. The fruit is made up of a core. All of those make up one fruit. And so many other parts, seeds in the fruit that will grow other fruit like itself. All of those are part of the fruit. But what we need to do is surround ourselves with people that are positive, surround ourselves with people that are in the Word, not seek advice from folk that aren't in the Word. We should not be going to the world and ask them, what do you think of something? I don't care whether it's family or friends. It could be someone you love to death. But you don't go to them about, well, what should I do about this situation? Or what would you do if you were in this situation? What? I'm going to tell you what they would do. They would do what the world would do. They will respond the way the world would respond. And they will encourage you to do the same thing. So we don't. In fact, I'm going to tell you the truth, and it may sound like I'm being snobbish in a way, but I don't think I am. We don't even need to be around Christians in terms of advice and counsel that are baby Christians. Novices, the way Paul calls it. Be careful of the novices, the ones that are just starting out in the faith. We don't need this counsel from them. We need to be around them. We need to support them. We need to encourage them. We need to pray with them, to read the Word with them. But we don't need counsel from them. We don't need counsel from folk that need to be canceled. We need to have people that are – we need a mentor. The first mentor that we need is God. If nobody is – if we don't have anybody else right now, we have God. He said, I'm not going to ever leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. So before we, you know, pick up and try to get any old body in our life because we feel a little lonely, we need to go to God.
I ain't trying to pick up no everybody in my life.
You know, we got to be careful of that because sometimes we get to a point where, you know, we want somebody so bad that we just – we reach out and we got to try to get somebody.
Already been there and done that.
You know, and I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I'm saying we all as Christians need to watch that because, you know, sometimes we need to be alone. Just you and God and nobody else. Sometimes we need that. Because ultimately, our ultimate goal is to reach out to other people. Evangelist Teresa has said, and I talked about it last night, there's two commandments that are the greatest of all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first commandment. And it said, and the second is like unto it. It's not lesser than. It's not subordinate to. It's not inferior to. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Amen.
Love the God, love your neighbor. I was telling them last night on the broadcast, I said, you mean to tell me that if I give up my homosexual lifestyle but don't feed the hungry, I still can be sent to hell? The answer is yes. Read St. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. The answer is yes. You mean to tell me that if I give up my sugar daddy and my chick on the side, But I don't visit those that are sick or don't visit, give drink to the person who's thirsty or go to the prison house, that I can still end up in the lake of fire? The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
25, Amen. The words of Christ. That when you don't do it to the least of these, my brothers, you haven't done it unto me. Depart from me and be cast into hell. Well, what you mean to tell me that not just you giving up this and you giving up that, that'll get you to heaven? You got to treat folk right, too? Yep.
Right.
Yes. In fact, Christ says there, and once again in St. Matthew, he says, when you love those who don't love you, that persecute you, you're perfecting yourself. That proves you're perfect, too. Not just, I gave up this, I don't smoke no more, and I don't, you know, a lot of people can give up that stuff. The hard stuff to do is to love folk. The hard stuff to do is to love your enemy. That's the real hard. That's the real job.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
oh yeah. I can stop sleep morale, but can I love my enemy? Can I love those who spitefully use me and persecute me? Can I pray for them? If they're hungry, would I feed them? Can I really forgive folk that have done all against me? Can I really sure enough forgive folk and not bring it back up every time they do something? Oh, yeah, you did that to me before. We're supposed to really forgive. The way Christ did us is the way we're supposed to do others. We're always talking about he threw my sin into the sea of forgiveness, but we don't throw nothing away from nobody doing something against us.
All right.
We remember everything. Oh, I'm getting the seconds now. Okay, well, I'm concluding. I'm concluding, miss. Thank you. Whoever that lady is, an English lady. I'm concluding, English lady. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak, evangelist and pastor. And I pray that God will bless us all. God bless.
Amen. God bless.
On Friday. At 5, live at 5. God bless you, Rob Thomas.
That's all, folks.
All, folks.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Carl.
Well, Vance is back and say bye-bye.